Okay, tough. So we are on the today's Amud is Daf Chaf Vav Amud Bay, starting right at the bottom of Daf Chaf Vav Amud Aleph. We are in the middle of a discussion, if you remember, of selling a Beis Knesses, right? Selling a shul. When you're allowed to, what you're allowed to do with the money you get from selling a shul, and when are you allowed to sell a shul? In the middle of that, we had an aside about tzaras abatim, and whether a shul in Yerushalayim is mekabel tzaras abatim. Okay. Amar Rava, lo yishanu el shaloi machru shiva tuvei b'mayim ben anshei ha'ir. Aval, machru shiva tuvei ha'ir b'mayim ben anshei ha'ir, afilu lemishta b'shikra, shapir dami. So says Rava, this rule that we stated, that you can't sell that. You can't sell a shul and then use the money for something which is less kadosh, right? That is, and a separate halacha that we have not yet taught, but which we'll tell very very soon. That even if you do sell a shul, it maintains its kedusha and therefore it cannot be used for something which ordinarily would be forbidden for a shul, which means its use is pretty limited. It has to stay as a shul or a Beis Midrash. Right? That is those two rules are only true if a shul was sold by the community, whatever, but it wasn't sold by seven major leaders of the city in the context of a meeting of the city, right? Everyone was, they were representing the city and the city was there and everybody there together. But if it was sold when with seven members of a committee and everybody else was present, then already you can use the money for something else, and a shul, in fact, can be used for some other purpose, even to eat and drink in it, which is usually strictly forbidden. Obviously, we'll talk later on the perek about the halachas of eating and drinking in a shul. It should be noted that the assumption in Smara, which is something you pass in, is that eating and drinking in a shul is mi'ikra din forbidden. There are certain heterim which allow it in certain circumstances that we will discuss as we move on. Okay. Ravina have lehahu tila leveiknishta. Deveiknishta? So Ravina owned the ruins of a shul. Asa la kami de Ravashi. He came in front of Ravashi. Amar le, ma'ol mizra. He asked, can you plant it? Can you plant things on this hill, which used to be a shul? I'm really zil zavne b'shiva tuvei ayir b'mayim ben anshei ayir. This is Ra. Ravashi said you have to sell it. You have to buy it from shiva tuvei ayir with everybody else present. Rami bar Abba have kabane beknishta. Rami bar Chama built a shul have hahi shnista asika. Have a knisha sika, have a ba'i le mistere, ulasui livni, vechashure mi ne. Okay, so Rami, he wanted to tear down an old shul and reuse the wood and the bricks from the old shul to build the new shul. The ayule le hasam. Right? He asked if a gamai le de hadera vichista. He asked of Rav Chista, is this in fact mutter? Dam Rav Chista lelistar beknishta devani beknishta charisi. Because Rav Chista had a general sach that you may not destroy the shul of the city at all, you may not tear it down until there's a new shul ready. Right? Shul can't be with, the city can't be without a shul. So if you have a shul ready, you're not allowed to tear that shul down until you have a new one ready for people to move into. Hasam mishum shiusa hiagav noai. Says that in that case, that's because you'll end up without a shul altogether. But here, the whole point of tearing down the old shul is to have a new shul. So maybe you'll say that it's mutter. Asa kami de Rav Papa v'asarli. He came in front of the question went to Rav Papa, and Rav Papa said, no, it's asar. The kind of Rav Huna v'asarli. He went in front of Rav Huna, and Rav Huna said, also, it's asar. I'm Rava. Hi, b'nei krishta, chalufa uzevuna, shane, aigura umashkoina. Aser. Right, it says, Rava said, when a Beis Knesset, when a shul is sold, right? You may switch it for another building, you may sell it, right? That's possible, but to rent it out, to rent out the building is under all circumstances forbidden. That can't be done even b'shiva tibiyeh. My timer, why? Because it still has full kedusha, so it can't be rented out, it can't be used for that purpose. Livni nami chalufin hu zamninu shari was oizufinu asur. Similarly, if you've got the bricks that made up a shul, you can sell them, you can switch them. What you cannot do, what you can do is to use them as a security for borrowing money. And it says, and that's only true if it's a shul which has been used. But if it's a shul which has not been used, you built a shul, you never used it, then already that, it's all not true, then you can do whatever you want with it. The reason why is because we have a general halacha, it's called Hazmana Lav Nilsehi, meaning nearly designating something for a particular purpose, usually not always, but usually does not have the effect of making it kadosh. Right? You need to actually perform an action, usually, to make things kadosh. So once you've davened in a shul for the first time, you had a first minion in a shul, so then already the shul has kedushas basic knesses, but until such a time, the shul does not have kedushas basic knesses, it's just a building that you wanted to use as a shul. And in this case, even if you were to say the hazmana works, that just designating something for a purpose brings it its full kedusha. And he says, when it comes to the issue of the bricks, that the bricks being designated for the purpose of a brand new shul, that would not count. That would not count, even if you say Hasmana works, because Hasmana works when you, the classic case of Hasmana is when you designated an object for the purpose of a dead body, for the purpose of that body's funeral, right? In that case, it becomes the property of that dead body, so to speak, and nothing else can be done with it. It's Hasmana. So, says, this is only true when you're weaving a garment for the dead body to wear, but when you're merely manufacturing the string, that's already too far removed. That does not count to make the object kadosh, to make the object unusable for any other purpose. Right? Therefore, here too, the bricks have not yet been built into a building. So when you were building, when you've completed the building, if you were to claim that Hasmana or merely designating an object works to give it kedusha, then it would be effective. We don't pass in that way, so it's not. But in any case, just manufacturing the bricks and saying there for the shul, that's for sure, designation doesn't do anything at all, even if you usually count designation as significant. Matana pligiba Rav Acha veRavina Chadasa veChadshari. What about a matana? What about giving a shul away? Can a shul be given away for free? Rav Acha and Ravina disagree. One of them said it was Asar, one said it was Mutter than the words. That's what you're asking. Manda Alna Asar Behai Tifka Kdusha Sah? So the person who says Asar says the shul is still Kodesh. Even if you transfer ownership, the shul is still Kodesh. One shari, ilav de havi lehanami ne le havi ayule. Hader havi le matana kizvini. If he wasn't gonna have, the person that's mutter said, if he didn't enjoy giving away the building, then he wouldn't have done it. Since he enjoyed giving away the building, the enjoyment he got from being able to give that gift is in itself actually of monetary value, clearly. And therefore, he received something on monetary value in exchange for the shul, and therefore it's a sale. And therefore it is permitted, and the kedusha of the shul did in fact go away. Tanu Rabbanan, Tashmishi Mitzvah Nizrakin, Tashmishi Kedusha Nig Nazin. Okay, we have a braisa that where the minhag is not this way, right? Something which is merely used for a mitzvah but doesn't have kedusha. For example, tzitzit strings, right? May be thrown away into the bin. Right, Tashmishi Kedusha, right? Something which is used for the purpose of Kedusha, meaning tefillin, Sefer Torah, mezuzah, things like that, right? The wraps around tefillin, Sefer Torah, mezuzah, all those sorts of things, nignazim, they cannot be thrown away, they must be put in gniza and disposed of with kavod, right? Therefore, right, Me'igro din, we were paskin, that sits his strings, when they get worn out, you can throw them away. But a tefillin bag, you may not, a tefillin bag must be put in the kniza. Nevertheless, I think the minhag is going to say is either to put tzitzis strings in the kniza, or what I personally do, you just wrap them in a tightly in a bag. That way they're not in contact with the other garbage, just because of respect for the mitzvah. Ve'elen v'tashmishi mitzvah. And this is what counts as tashmishi mitzvah. Sukkah. Sukkah doesn't have kedusha, it's tashmishi, it's tashmishi mitzvah. Lulav. Shofar tzitzis. Anything which is used for a mitzvah but doesn't have kedusha is called a tashmish mitzvah. Ve'elen tashmishi kedusha. And this is what counts as tashmishi kedusha. Dluskame Sefarim. Right, so a stand that you hold Sefarim on, right? The bima, the shul, basically. Tefillin or mezuzos, right? Things that are tefillin and mezuzos, things that are used for them. The tikshel sefer Torah and the bag around the sefer Torah. The nar tikshel tefillin and rutsosein. And the bag for tefillin and the straps of tefillin. These things are all what's called tashmishi kedusha, meaning they don't have independent kedusha. They are kedusha by virtue of their contact with an object which has kedusha. That should be noted. The straps of the tefillin, this is a question that we're showing him, should the Gemara in fact mention straps are something which is a tashmish kedusha. Many Rishonim think that the straps of tefillin are just part of the tefillin, right? And therefore, they're not tashmish kedusha. They have kedusha in of themselves. And then, in that case, that word has to be taken out of the Gemara. It shouldn't be there. Okay. Amarava. Meresh haveimina hai kursi tashmish desh. Tashmish huvashari. Kem dechazina de mutzvi ilvei sefer Torah mina tashmish kedusha hu ve'asur. Right, so I originally thought that the bima, the table in the shul, was what's called a tashmish to tashmish. It wasn't a direct object which served the Sefer Torah. It was servicing an object which doesn't service the Sefer Torah. Why? Because it's usually used with a talus on top. Right, you put up the table, you cover the talus, and you put the Sefer Torah on top. And so he thought that it was what's called a tashmish to tashmish, and therefore it can be just thrown away. It doesn't have the full level of tashmish ekdusha. Since he saw that it can that sometimes people put the Sefer Torah directly on the table without something underneath, he realized that it's really a Tashmish Kedusha, and therefore it must be disposed of like any other Tashmish Kedusha with honor in the Gniza. V'amar Rava, Hai Tevusa de Irvot. Mi Avda Teva Zutrasi Shari Kursiya Asir. So it says, If your Aron HaKodesh has gotten worn out, it's no longer in good shape, so you can make it into a smaller Aron HaKodesh. You can take the wood and use it for another Aron HaKodesh. What you cannot do is use it as a table to put the Sefer Torah on. Right? Because that's a smaller level of Kedushah. It's a Tashmish Detashmish. It's somewhere in the middle. It's not really a Tashmish Detashmish, but it's a Ke'ein, a Tashmish Detashmish. Right? It's somewhere in the middle, and therefore you may not. On the one hand, it's a tashmish kedusha, it has to be disposed of with honor. On the other hand, you cannot take the Aron HaKodesh, which is used really big figures for a Sefer Torah, and turn it into a table for reading Svarim. V'amar Rav, and Rav said, Hai Parisa Devala, Lemiav da Parisa Lesifri Shari Lechumshin Asir. So, if you have a cloth, basically, which is on the inside of the Aron HaKodesh, right, and it got worn out, you can take what's left of it and turn it into a cloth to wrap around a Sefer Torah. What you cannot do is you cannot turn it into a cloth to wrap around an individual Sefer from Torah, meaning just Bereishis, or just Shmos, just Vayikra, just Ravina, or just Dvarim. They sometimes had those in those days. These days we don't really have them anymore. In those days they had them, and so the question was, can you do that? Can you turn a cloth which was used for a Sefer Torah into a cloth just for a Chumash? The answer is, you can't, because it's diminishing its Dusha. V'amar Rava, Hane Zvile de Chumshi. Vekamatre desifri. Tashmish kdusha ninu ven nignazin. And Rava said that the bags that you wrap around either a Sefer Torah or the kamatre desifri, or bags you wrap around the other Sfarim of Nach, are a tashmish kdusha. They have the kdusha of a tashmish kdusha, that they're servicing a holy object, and therefore they must go into gnitza if they get one out. Pshita! That's obvious to the Gemara. Mod same. What would you have thought? Hani lav lechavoy davinan. The term Alva Avide Kamashalan. You would have thought that the reason why they're put there is not really for a cover. It's not to give the Sefer a cover. It's just to prevent it from getting damaged. Something which is just to prevent it from being damaged is not a Tashmish Kedusha, right? Tashmish Kedusha involves a use which gives it cover, right? And you might have thought that these don't give it cover, and therefore they're not a Tashmish Kedusha. Kamashalan, we learn from this that in fact they are a Tashmish Kedusha. Wrapping up a Sefer Torah is not just to protect it, it's also to give it cover. Hahu beknishta dihu dai roi ma'i dehave pesiach lehahu id roina. The Havi Machis Bay Mace. Ve'avu bo'u chani le'mea le'tzaluye hasam. There was a shul, right, used by Roman Jews, right, and it was right next to the Chevra Kadisha, and it was open to a room which had dead body in it. The question was, kem kohanim daven in this shul? Asu amr le'le rav amr lehu dalu tevusa. Rava said it's very simple. Take the Aron HaKodesh and put it in the doorway between the rooms. Why? Because the Aron HaKodesh is what's called a Kli Eitz Hasui L'Nachas. It's not a Kli Eitz that's made for a useful purpose. Right? It's a Kli Eitz that is made to look pretty. A Kli Eitz, a wooden Kli, which is made to look pretty, is not Mekabel Tumah. Since it is not Mekabel Tumah, it can prevent Tumah from passing. Anything which is Mekabel Tumah does not prevent Tumah from passing. Anything which is not Mekabel Tumah does prevent Tumah from passing. So it's not Mekabel Tumah because it's made basically to look pretty, and therefore it prevents the Tumah from passing. Since that is the case, you can put it in the doorway, and then the doorway is no longer a doorway, the doorway is a wall, and the Tumah's mace can't come through and get at the Kohanim who are davening in the room. Obviously, this is related to what we were saying in the sense that the Aron HaKodesh is not there to protect the Sefer Torah. The Aron HaKodesh is there to give the Sefer Torah covered. Right, that's the point of it. Says Amro le Rava on the Rava. The rabbis responded to Rava. Veha zimnin de mitaltel le kimanach Sefer Torah elvei. Vehavi le mitautela male vere kam. To say, wait, he says, sometimes you move it when the Sefer Torah is still in it. If you move it sometimes when the Sefer Torah is still in it, then it's moved both when it's empty and when it's full, meaning it's used sometimes as a way of transporting a Sefer Torah safely. It's used as a way to move a Sefer Torah around without any risk that the Sefer Torah will get damaged. I mean, it's true it's designed to give cover, to give honor to the Sefer Torah, and you don't really need it to protect the Sefer Torah, but when you're moving the Sefer Torah around, you move it around in an Aron HaKodesh, but then you really do need it to protect the Sefer Torah. For that reason, it is not merely designed to look pretty, it's also got a functional purpose, and therefore it should be Mekabel Tumah, and therefore it cannot block the Tumah from coming in from the room where the dead body is. So the Achi Le'ashar, the response was, yeah, if that's true, then it will not block the Tumah. Rav admitted that he was incorrect. Amar Mar Zutra. Mar Zutra said, Mit pachoy svarim shebalo isino isan tachrichin l'meis mitzah, v'zuhi genizasan. Mar Zutra said, if you have the cloths that are placed around svarim, right, they wear out, so use them to make a wrap, basically, for a dead body. You bury them with a dead body, and that's kniza. That's a respectful disposal. And Amar Rava, Sefer Torah shebala goin zinoisoi eitzel talmi chachon v'afilu shone halachos. And Rava said, a Sefer Torah which wore out, and which is known as possible, is no longer usable, you should bury it with a Talmud Chacham. You can even bury it with someone. It's not such a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't understand things so well, but what can he do? He can tell you lots of halachas from memory. That's also a good person to wear, to bury the Sefer Torah. It should be noted, what does a Shona Halachas mean? A Shona Halachas is a person who will repeat Mishnayos and Brises Baal Peh. Right? The Amoraim, Rava, Ravina, Ravashi, Rav Papa, etc., didn't necessarily know the Mishnayos and the Brises Baal Peh. They had somebody in front of them who was trained basically to act as a human memory device, right? As a human tape recorder, and he would repeat for them all the Mishnayos and all the Brises. So to hear, right, that person is not just a Talmud Chacham, somebody who really understands Torah, right, who you can bury with a Sefer Torah. It's also somebody who doesn't necessarily understand what he's talking about, but has an excellent memory for Torah. That person can also be buried with a Sefer Torah. Amrav Achar Bar Yaakov uvichli cheres, shenemar unsatem bichli cheres, leman yamdu yamim rabim. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov said that in addition to this, it is also permitted to bury a Sefer Torah anywhere at all if it's within a clay pot. Why? Because the pasuk says that in Yirmiyahu that the scroll which was written, the shtar which was written for Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu was told shortly before the Golus to Babel that he should send somebody, he did Baruch Benir, to buy a land in Arnosos, right? And make sure it was written down as a shtar. That way, that shtar would act as a proof that the Jews own the land. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that that shtar should be written, should be buried in a kli cheres, right? In a clay vessel, because that way it will be preserved. That's what happened. By the way, it's been found. Right, that shtar has actually been found. This event occurred historically, and he did, in fact, buy the land, and the shtar was found. And it was stored in a kli cheres. So we can see that a kli cheres is a very good way of storing objects, storing scrolls, so that they'll last a very long time. So therefore, if you bury a Sefer Torah in a kli cheres, any way you bury it all, that's considered a very respectful way of burying it, and therefore that is mutter. Okay, so it says the Gemara now. The Gemara says Rav Papa Mishmi the Rava. Rav Papa said it's in the name of Rava. Mivikdishta Rabbanan Shari. Mivik Rabbanan Levikdishta Aser. It's permitted to take a Sefer Torah to convert a shul from being a shul to a base midrash. It's not permitted to convert a base midrash from being a base midrash to a shul. It should be noted in those days they weren't the same building, right? The Beit Midrash was not necessarily the place where you daven. We do have a Moroim in Brachos that say that they always daven with a minion, and then they found out that really it meant to daven in the place where you learn, and so they stopped davening with a minion so they could daven in the place that they learned. The implication is there was not a regular minion in a Beit Midrash, right? There was a shul where they had the minion, there was a Beit Midrash where they learned. They were separate buildings. Rav Papa, Mishmeit Rava Masni Yipcha. Rav Papa, in the name of Rava, said the opposite. He said you can turn a shul, a base midrash into a shul, you not turn a shul into a base midrash. So the question is, does a shul have a higher level of kedusha, or does a base midrash have a higher level of kedusha? Because remember, you can raise the kedusha, you can't lower it. Amaravach kavasi derav papi mistara derav yeshuv and levi bekzeh lizknesim ba'asusha mutar la say base midrash shma mina. So the answer was Rav Papa said the name of Rav Acha said that. Rav Papi, the halacha is like Rav Papi, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that a base of Knesset, a shul can be made into a base midrash. A base of midrash may not be made into a shul. Meaning a base midrash has a higher level of kedusha. And that is the way we pass in. Should be known in the Mishnah Berurah says, anyway, this question is irrelevant, Bisman Azeh. It's obvious that it's mutter to turn a shul into a base midrash because most batei midrash now have a regular minion. Right, so a shul and a base midrash is always a shul. A shul is not necessarily a base midrash. Right? On the other hand, it is equally obvious that it's not. Everybody would agree it's not mutter to make base midrash into a shul because since a base midrash doubles up, it's really both. So you can't take away one side of his klusha and say this is no longer a study hall. Okay. Peseder shteich, gentlemen. We will continue, please God, tomorrow.